Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. Today is Tuesday, and it's the 2nd of September. We're into a new month, heading into the last quarter of
Michael.
The year. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, happy Tuesday to you. I'm here today with you broadcasting live from Heartland, a love vortex nestled in the Ozark Mountains. Today is September 2nd, 2014, and we warmly welcome you to the show. The call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you press 1, that will put you into queue to talk with Dr. Rice. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. So, Michael, let's get started in the process of learning and experiencing forgiveness.
Yay, thank you for that introduction. We're having a rainy day here in the Ozarks, a little on the cool side. Pretty day, and the work that's being done by everybody in the intensive is monumental. There's so much energy moving. We had a pretty hot night last night, lots of stuff moving and up, lots of healing occurring. We had a couple of young ladies visit from Branson and spend the afternoon with us, and I talked to one of those young ladies just about 2 hours ago, and she was sharing that the impact on her life just in a couple of hours was pretty monumental. In fact, it was, according to her, in her 82 years, it was actually one of the biggest highlights of her life. We were covering the things that need to be aligned, and maybe this is something we could talk about on the show today, the things that need to be aligned in order for us to really function out of our purpose and bring through real, true personal power. And in this work, personal power we define as, the best definition I've been able to come up with yet, is the ability to be continuously aware of and function out of our highest guidance. And when we're in that connected space and have that high-level guidance, we get to see things that otherwise are not visible. We get to understand things that are not understandable by the mind that most people think with. And if we have real personal power and we're in a situation where the stress is up and the chips are down, we can still hold to awareness of that higher guidance. Unfortunately, most people's higher guidance is displaced by the brain cells that fire that contain old dynamics, generational dynamics of hostility, fear, and all of the energies that do not support the truth of who we are. Of course, the truth of who we are, we establish with a single question. Hold a newborn child. You know exactly what a human life is. You know exactly what you are. That awesome, active presence of love is what we're all designed to function as. And so if anything unlike that state comes forward, if we carry anything unlike that awesome state of love within our structures, then our structures are diseased. We find that disease process starts out as a dysfunction and ultimately ends up as physical pain and the falling apart of our organic structure. Our offering is that The falling apart of the organic structure is a result of putting energies into the structure that don't belong in the structure, because the truth is you don't have a physical form, you have an energetic form, and when you put an energy into the form that doesn't belong in it, then you create some sort of disorder or dis-ease within the system. And so we view places when stress is up and the chips are down as an opportunity to look at what we hold within our own structure and begin the removal process. The removal process in the first century Aramaic language was that of forgiveness. Of course, today we've been taught that forgiveness is all about how we let everybody else off the hook for what's happening inside of us. But the truth is, forgiveness really is the tool with which we remove what never belonged within our structures, the energies that defile and destroy our perception, our awareness, and our personal power, the ability to follow our highest guidance. The person who stands in their highest guidance invariably will speak of the need to live in that space of love and as that connected being of love. But when circumstances resonate something different, then an interfering pattern, an interfering energy gets in the way, and the connectedness to the active presence of love is lost. And so one tends to fall into a lack of personal power and goes off on a tangent that does not support them living truly as a human being. You and I started out and continue to be made of the stuff called love. If we lose awareness of that, it's not because anything has changed about who we are. It's because we've held energies within our structures that don't belong within our structures. Holding those energies does not change the fact that we are, by nature, beings called love, that that's truth of who we are. And so the forgiveness process is what we're here to learn. It's what we're here to teach. It's what we're here to support people in understanding and bringing into their worlds. And so we're just delighted that everybody who chooses to join us, every day that you do choose to join us, is here, is with us. We've got lots of events coming up. We actually will be finishing this Laws of Living Intensive next Saturday, or this coming Saturday, pardon me. And then within a few days, we'll be on our way to St. Louis, and on the 14th, we'll be at Washington University. At the Newman Center, doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again, Sunday afternoon, the 14th. And from there, we'll head to Woodstock, Illinois, where we'll do a week of workshops. We'll be up in Dr. Tim's neck of the woods. And then from Woodstock, we'll head over to Grand Rapids. We'll be taking a few days to visit with a friend up in northern Michigan, and then head to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Do a week of workshops there. We'll be speaking at the Spiritual Unity of Nations Conference, keynoting that. And then head from there to Lansing. We'll do a week of workshops in Lansing. And then we'll begin on the 31st of October, a 9-day codependence to interdependence intensive. So anybody who really wants to crank their work up and take another look on another level at the way that relationships work, it'll be the space where we'll focus on healing through relationships. Of course, Why Is This Happening to Me Again will be part of that workshop. And then the major focus will be the process of powerful set of tools for moving through all the things we tend to blame everybody else for. But of course, as you've probably heard me say before, one of my favorite tongue-in-cheek lines is, you'll notice if you've been through a particular painful reality 87 different times with 42 different people, you're the only one that was there every time. Your painful realities are about you. They're not about anybody else but you. And when you choose to remove them, you get to play in a different world. So we're here to support the removal process of everything that never belonged in our human lives, and the healing of humanity through that process. And that healing happens physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, financially, relationship, when we enter into the use of the tools. And so we're delighted you're here to join us. And Michelle, is Dr. Tim with us today?
You know, Michael, I do not see his phone number on here on the switchboard today. It's kind of quiet.
Okay. Well, cut. Well, then, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If anybody has a question for us, if you're on the phone queue, you push 1, and that will put your hand up, and we'll have a conversation. So is there anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, Michelle, or anybody with a hand up?
Yeah, we do. We have area code 831 with us, and let's say hi.
831, welcome to the show. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
My name is Lisa, and I'm calling from California.
Hi, Lisa. Welcome. Glad to hear your voice. How can we support you?
I need to be calmed down a bit. I'm a little anxiety at the moment, not just because I'm rushing to work, and I needed to hear some spirituality. But my husband and I, we recently married, and we had this dream home in mind, and I do believe things happen for a reason. And last Thursday, we got the wind knocked out of beneath our wings, and started off with my daughter needing surgery, and our loan didn't go through to the dream house, and that there's some falsifications on my credit report. Now, I could have boo-hooed about. I could have boo-hooed, but I kept saying, there's a lesson, there's a lesson, there's a lesson, there's a lesson. I'm running on anxiety and my ego right now. I needed the weekend to just let go for a bit. My daughter's still going to need surgery, which I think is part of her lesson that she needs to sit down.
What age is your daughter?
My daughter's 16, and she is 100 miles an hour in the wind, and she was in a golf cart accident, and the golf cart flipped over on its side and really did some damage on her, and she's cheerleading, cross-country, straight-A student, you know, all these stressors in her life, and she put them on herself because that's not, I would rather her just be fun loving and lower the focus, broaden the focus a bit. Another thing with the loan was the company that we were dealing with was for VA, and they kept back talking, you know, just, no, we didn't say that. Yes, we did say that. And even though we didn't feel comfortable, and I kept thinking, this is not right, this is not right, don't put this in the universe, we really want this dream house of ours, they waited until the 11th hour at the 59th minute to tell us that we didn't have the loan. My lesson with that was stick with my first gut instinct. I was humbling. This whole situation for me was humbling. I've been on cloud 9 since my engagement to my wedding to finding this dream home that we searched so hard for. And, I have to say, this was humbling. And, my issue is I do not wish to hold up my husband. He wanted this house so bad. He was just, we've already had the plans made out. We were going to build this wood shop. You know, it was a nice chunk of property. And if it wasn't meant to be, I guess the universe has something bigger and better for us.
Right. So in all of this that's happening, what's coming up for you? How can we support you?
I just need to know that I'm going to make it to the other side.
Yeah, so take a breath. It sounds like a lot of grief and fear coming up.
Exactly. And I know it has to do a lot with my father and my mother because they were so reckless with money, and I'm so on top of my money to have this come up. It just brings up that insecurity that I had when I was a child.
Yeah. Breathe. And notice how you can be in your head and cover everything, and now you drop into your feelings, and what I'd invite you to do is just to take a moment and just breathe into those feelings and let yourself feel them fully. And I don't know if you've been on the show before, but you've got a whole community of people who know precisely how to beam active love toward you in support of dissolving this underlying trauma that's coming up. And so I invite you to just take a moment and just kind of be in your breath and let go of your head and just feel what it is that you're feeling and let each layer of that surface. And know that each person who's listening to the show, whether they're in South Africa or whether they're in the Middle East or whether they're right here in the USA, is holding that active space of love for you. And it sounds like if you went into the forgiveness process, you know, we work with a worksheet called reality management. And the core of the forgiveness process in the first century Aramaic is, it's strange when you first start to think about it, until you understand how it's applied. It can be strange, but it has to do with looking at the object of attention of the upset and the disturbance, and then identifying the goal that you hold for that object of attention. And in this case, the place where the energy really started to take off for you was in talking about mom and dad being careless with money. And so my invitation would be to invite you, as you breathe, to think about mom and dad. And it sounds like the goal was probably for them to have taken care of their financial lives better. Would that be accurate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
they were
this may sound strange. So this may sound strange, but what I'm going to invite you to do, we're going to kind of do a short-form forgiveness process, and I'm just going to ask you to trust it and see what happens. Good breath, and just cancel your need for your mom and dad to have taken care of their finances better. Say that to yourself. Cancel my need for you, mom and dad, to have handled your finances better. What happens as you do that? Where does your mind go as you do that? What thoughts come forward?
My first thought is, you know, before my dad died, he still was doing the quick get-rich scheme stuff. And It was narcissistic. It wasn't for the better good of his family. His gambling and just the release of all that anger that I saw us all go through. Being judged. Oh, my God. Being judged the way I was because I was his daughter, not for who I am, by my family.
Wow, okay. So breathe into that one. So that's the next layer down that needs to be healed, is the pain that you hold about having been judged in your world.
I'm being judged right now. I'm referred to a doctor's office. Hold one moment.
And so we just ask everybody to hold space and breathe, and as you observe when a goal is canceled, the perception that's driving the mind in that moment tends to collapse. Okay, good.
I'm back.
And you get
so
to
sorry.
The next level. Okay, no problem. So get to the next level. And so while it appears to be about it, notice that the projection is that it's about mom and dad and being judged because of them. And now that you've canceled that goal and cleared that overlay out of your mind, what's really going on is you're feeling judged in your circumstances today.
Yes.
Instead of being acknowledged for who you are.
Yes.
And so there's a deeper layer of healing that's going to happen. Breathe.
Ooh, I am. I turned off my phone.
Cool.
I am. Okay.
So it sounds like the next level of goal, and there's a thing in this book we call the Hydra effect. If you think back into Greek mythology, there's this creature called the Hydra. And when you cut off her head, several other heads appeared. And
yeah.
So having cut off the first head of it being about dad and his narcissism and not being, in integrity with his money situations, and then it moves to you being judged instead of who you were as a kid for the way your family handled money. And then the next level of the Hydra is now you're in touch with the issue, getting closer to the core of the issue, and that is that people are judging me for the circumstances around me today, whether it's the house or your daughter or whatever. Good breath. That's
yeah.
The kind of breath captures the disintegrative energy that needs to move out of the structure so often. So then there's another component to the forgiveness process, and we've just kind of touched the surface of it, but I'll invite you in a few minutes to go to the website and get more information so you can really tap into this forgiveness process. But another piece of that puzzle is that 2,000 years ago in the Aramaic, what was taught was that there was a literal feminine elemental force in us that when we invited her into activity would undo the effects of our errors and teach us the truth. And so with all this energy that's moving, the name in Aramaic of that elemental force was Rikikikidja. And so what I'm going to invite you to do now is just close your eyes and breathe, and whatever you would call the higher force, whether it's a higher power or Rikikikidja or whatever you would call it, just invite that elemental force. There's a literal energetic force in us that knows how to reach through all of our history, future and past, and clean it up for us if we ask for it to be cleaned up. And so that is activated by my willingness and my request for that support. And so you might form the name of that force to Rukka. That's what I usually do. And just, Rukka, I ask to be supported in letting go of all the dynamics around being judged for my circumstances rather than seen as who I am. I'm just asking for that and see what happens. Thank you. And what's happening?
My solar plexus is let go. I don't feel like I'm wearing a corset too tight.
Okay. Awesome.
Trying to let go of the pain or the weight on my shoulders at the moment. I don't like feeling responsible for what I feel I did wrong or was out of my control.
And then if you go back and look as a kid, did you try to shoulder the burden and cover for dad when he was
in Gaius mania.
Oh.
So how about I cancel my need to cover for any circumstance in my life?
Okay.
Once again, I invite that elemental force, Rukutukutsu, I invite Ruka to undo this load, the third man saying, the effects of my errors, and teach me the truth.
Teach me the truth.
By definition, from the first century Aramaic, the elemental force that was called Ruka, or Rukutukutsu, was one that would literally undo the effects of our errors and teach us the truth. When our own feeble mental capacity, how great a man you are, a little noisy there, our own mental capacities are pretty puny compared to these accumulated energies, especially when they start adding up through the generations. And so this elemental force was something that was given to us to help us to reach beyond our own mental capacities and empower the process of healing. And so just invite that once again into this lifting of the burden of having to take responsibility for everything and everybody.
Okay. Right.
What are you feeling?
To me, my original, like, supportive self. Yeah.
That's the whole idea of first century Aramaic forgiveness, to live as the truth of who we are. And if you haven't touched into the process yet, there's a ton of information available on our website free. You can go to www.whyagain.org, and there's a bullseye in the middle of the page. If you hit that bullseye, it'll open a whole series of links. It'll give you chapter 24 of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? You can also download the whole book free from the website. It'll give you chapter 24, which explains the forgiveness process more in detail from, you know, the short form we've just done. And then the second link is the actual worksheet called Reality Management. It's the how-to of forgiveness. And then there's a link that will open a series of other links, and each of those other links is a radio show where we walk somebody through the whole forgiveness process. And the idea of the work is that each time you face a circumstance that resonates something that's less than loving you, when you apply the forgiveness process, you get back to who you are. And you unload the energetic burdens that, in many cases, have been being structured into our structures genetically for many, many, many generations. The freedom from that, the liberty that comes with that, is just awesome. And as you tap into that work, even start to work with it and learn it, and as I say, there are at least a dozen different radio shows that are free downloads where you can listen to us guide somebody through the whole step-by-step process. And as you start to work with it, inevitably questions will come up, refinements, and we'd invite you to call back into the show and ask your questions. How can we support you? That's what we're here for, 5 days a week.
I appreciate everybody's love and support. Thank you. I just went through a very anxiety moment, and I can't thank you all enough.
All right. Well, we're here to hold the space and the support. And if you go to the website, there is a contact link on there that if you want to be put on our mailing list, and we'll let you know the next time we're out in California. We'll probably be heading out there next year. This year we're heading down into Florida, but we'll probably be heading to California. And so we'll keep you posted if we're going to be in the city that you're in. And we'll look forward to hearing from you again.
Blessings to everybody. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye. 206-200-4169 is our calling number. That was kind of a mini experience of what first century Aramaic forgiveness looks like, feels like, and the results that it produces. And it always amazes me. I've been, you know, teaching that process of locating and canceling a goal for 35 years now, and it always just amazes me how people drop into levels and layers of the mind that are just oblivious in the normal state, but become very available, and we're empowered in the process to move through those layers and levels that are hidden from us. It's interesting, the Aramaic language is a unique language on the planet. You know, they credit Freud with having discovered the unconscious. In fact, he got the Nobel Prize for it. But the syntax of the Aramaic language includes descriptors for all of the unconscious dynamics that can possibly happen in a human life. And in particular, one of them is that there's a suffix that when you add it to a word, and the suffix is O-O-T-A, uta, that suffix means that there is unconscious material that is impacting your perception and your behavior. The way you get to that and clean that unconscious material out is through forgiveness. And so with that little mini experience that we just had, one starts out with these circumstances are a stress, and it's all about these circumstances, and then looking for the goal, then canceling the goal moves to what's going on in those uta brain cells on the underlying level. Oh, I was judged for what my dad was doing. And then canceling the goal involving dad goes to the next level of, oh, here I am being judged for what's going on in the circumstances in my life. And as I see that and expose that to love, what happens? The tension, the pressure, the place in my tissue structure where I'm holding that, in this case it was the stomach, the solar plexus, all of a sudden let's go. That's forgiveness. It's the removal of energy that doesn't belong. And then the next layer is, well, I'm also feeling this tension in my shoulders. And when I locate the goal involved in that one and cancel the goal, that energy lifts. And, I mean, literally step by step by step, you remove the things that never belonged in your tissue structure. And things that, in many cases, have not yet become physical diseases will be removed so they never have to become physical diseases. And or things that are physical diseases or appear to be physical are removed energetically in a matter of seconds. You know, we're at Heartland. We're coming to the close of a 65-day intensive season here at Heartland. We started out with a 10-day food fund forgiveness and then moved into a 16-day codependence, a 9-day Y, 9-day teacher training, and now we're doing a 16-day laws of living. We had two gentlemen that show up. One man was on a walker and had been through some extreme, literally, drying of nerves electrically in order to try to inhibit and stop back pain. And he's been with us most of the summer. And yesterday, as I was walking down to the center, he's in the building that's just a little bit down the hill from where our center is. And here's this young man jogging up the hill. He arrived here 50 days ago on a walker in extreme pain and taking 6 doses of methadone a day in order to cope with the pain. He shared with our visitors yesterday that he was down to 1 methadone and literally was jogging up the hill. We don't have a physical body, we have an energetic body. There was another gentleman who arrived here, and when we talked about this yesterday, and I asked him to stand up because our visitors, we were talking about the impact of these energetic processes, and he stood up straight and square and tall, and I asked him to demonstrate how he had been standing when he first got here as he walked with a cane. And he looked at me with a grin on his face. You mean when I came here and my posture was like I was a letter C, literally bent over like a 90-year-old man and walking with a cane, now standing upright and straight? We are energetic beings. If there are disorders in your structure, your disorders have to do with the energy that doesn't belong in your structure. It doesn't have to do with your structure. And when you recognize that and you engage in forgiveness, forgiveness is the removal of the energies that never belonged, and it's just quite awesome to watch it happen, and such a blessing to be part of the process. So, young lady, have we seen anything of Dr. Tim yet? Has he by chance joined us?
Yeah, he's here. Hey, Tim.
Oh, great. Well, let's say hello. How do you be, young man?
I'm doing well, thank you. I was
involved
in family activities yesterday and started the show right, I'd say 5 minutes into it today because I was delayed a little, but I got to hear almost all of the processing with that caller. That was delightful.
It's so amazing. I know that with the work you do with people, especially in the support group, when you share with us each week how the support group goes, it's just so amazing to watch how perception shifts and how things change as people engage in what seems to be such a silly thing like canceling goals. It delights and amazes me every time I get to play. Every time, even after 35 years of doing it, it just delights and amazes me how the energy patterns shift.
Yeah, and one of the things that's really truly amazing is how strong people are, even when their experience of themselves is that they're not doing well, but they're getting through so much stuff, and they're making so much progress that the people around them can see it, but they can't see it. And we had that on a regular basis in the support group where people, they do a tremendous amount of work, worksheets and support. They feel they're doing better, and then they have a setback. And then, for whatever reason, they feel like they're back at square one or ground zero, and that all of the benefits that they accrued and all the hard work they did are out the window. And yet, most of the people around them can see that's not the case at all. And a setback is a temporary thing, and it moves me from where I am right now, just a little bit back, just a little bit more into an energy that I wasn't aware of minutes before. But it's not possible to go back to the level of upset and confusion that I was at 6 months ago or a year ago or 2 years ago if I've been doing my work. And I like your admonition, and sometimes we put it on our worksheets, that you rate your upset level from 0 to 10 and do that on a regular basis whenever you have an upset, but especially if you're doing a worksheet, because the ego will tell me that if I have any upset at all, I'm right back where I started. And if I do the rating scale and I learn to gauge my upset one situation at a time, I'll realize even though I'm dealing with sadness or loss again, even though I'm dealing with feeling like I'm a bad parent again, and boy, that's an issue I've dealt with so much in my life. This work must not be doing me any good. But if I do the rating scale, I realize, 2 years ago, I felt like my upset level on a scale of 0 to 10 was a 3008. And right now, because I made a mistake with my child, I feel like my upset level is an 8 out of 10. And that gives me the perspective to take a breath and realize there has been a lot of progress, there has been a lot of work, and quite literally, the things I'm dealing with today, I'm dealing with them far better than I would have a year ago, or 2 years, or 5 years ago, even if it's very upsetting. It's very uncomfortable. It feels physically painful today. And that can give me the space to back up and just do more of the right stuff, do more of the tools, more of the breathing, more of the identifying the goal and then canceling it, more of the mind shifter tool, which can help me uncover the unconscious material that's driving the upset. So that's the kind of thing I was dealing with this morning and the people I've seen so far, and I'm confident that on a regular basis that issue comes up in our support group, and the person who was just on the phone might need to use that too. If she moves forward 2 or 3 weeks from now, if she's using the forgiveness process, she may once again get triggered to the same kind of feelings that she was processing in the call today. My hunch is if she does the rating scale on her disturbance level, it'll be significantly lower than it was today.
Well, I think another aspect of that too, Dr. Kim, is that as people do the work, they get to new levels of vitality and empowerment. And, you know, where today they may have experienced the level, you know, 8 upset, that level 8 is when they visit it 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years from now, they say, well, even if I'm at an 8, 2 years from now, but at a new level of vitality, the truth is that they're dealing with a much, much more powerful and deeper level of that upset, because at the new vitality level, they can access deeper layers, and so they'll move forward and strengthen themselves, those deeper layers that really are a whole lot more traumatic than the early layers are not experienced as nearly as traumatic as even the early layer, even though it really is a much deeper and much more painful level, because each level of skill enables one to move through those energies in a whole different rate. And certainly it is a set of skills to be developed, and with practice, things can just move in the most amazing ways. So, Michelle, do we have anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, or anybody with a hand up? Of course, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you've got a question for us, if you're in the phone queue and you push 1, we'll be having the conversation.
Well, actually, Mark H. is on the line here from Illinois.
Cool. Mark,
hey,
how you be, young man?
I'm doing well. I'm trying to call in more because it's such a good show, and I'm continuing to find just more and more value. So great job to everybody today. It was really appreciated. I've got a question. I've got a question for whoever wants to answer it. And it's something that's kind of been burning inside. I'm not really sure how to articulate it, so it may not come out right the first time. So give me just a second to try to articulate it properly. I want to know why I get confused, and not because of the process that I'm going through in terms of worksheets. But I tend to find that confusion comes up when I'm in the midst of people who are going through their own process. And sometimes they're moving through their stuff, and I'll take it on as if it's me going through it. And I'm not sure quite when I'm supporting and when I'm actually working something. And that confusion is something I'm sure you've worked with in the past, or Dr. Tim, and I'd love to hear your perspective on that. So the succinct question is, how do you know if you're working something or if you're working with someone who's working something? And I'll mute.
Great. Well, there are some easy guidelines for that one, Mark. Number one, you've heard me tell the story about you can't feel anybody else's. If you're feeling it, you're processing yourself. And remember that one of the symptoms of healing is confusion. The reason for that is that thought and feeling are electrical frequencies. They are electrical energy. Much like light is a frequency. And so I use the example of, imagine I've got a whiteboard and I project a red light, a blue light, and a green light on the board. And we have clarity on red, blue, and green. Now, scientifically, we know that red, blue, and green don't exist. The brain interprets certain frequencies as those colors. That's why some people are colorblind. It's not because there are no colors out there. Color is the brain's interpretation of a certain frequency range. And some people don't interpret the same way, so we say they're colorblind. But for someone who interprets normally, red, blue, and green, they're crisp. Each circle is crisp, it's clear, and each one has its own distinct color. But imagine that I take all three frequencies, all three lights, and I converge them and shine them on the same spot. Am I going to have clarity on red, blue, or green? No. Red, blue, and green, the frequencies of light are additive and subtractive. They'll mix and we'll get a muddle or a confused image on the screen of all three colors mixing with each other. Well, thought and feeling are precisely the same. And so if I have an energy stored in me from the past around an issue, let's say I have an issue with my children, and when I was a child, I had that same thing happen with my parent, and I have fear and terror from my childhood. So that's a frequency stored in the structure. That would be like the frequency red. And now here I am, I'm the adult, I have my own children, and my children are going through an issue similar to one that I had where I accumulated this frequency of red within my structure, confusion, fear. But now here I am, it's 35 years later, and I'm the adult, and that same circumstance is happening, and I think that I'm helping my child to clean that issue up. But the truth is, I am, but also the child in their resonance is firing that frequency packet, that energy packet in me of red from when I was 5 years of age. And here I am with awareness and tools. I am just pouring in and bringing in the active presence of love, which let's say that in this case, that frequency is blue. So with awareness and knowing the tools and using the tools, I know that what I want to do is shine the total presence of love into my child's field and their issue to support them healing. And at the same time as they're resonating that old painful experience when I was a child, that resonates and up comes my pain and turmoil from when I was the 5-year-old. In comes the mental, emotional clarity of the adult, different frequency, and the two frequencies mix, just like the red, blue, and the green mix, and now they're additive and subtractive with each other, and I have confusion. It's a normal part of the healing process. So if I'm working with someone, you know, one of the things I've learned over the years is, and I share with teachers, is you've got to learn to process yourself very quickly, because as a resonating energy field, you're going to draw people who will show you issues that you haven't resolved yet. And so someone will show up with the same issue. It resonates my issue. If I'm feeling it, I'm processing me at the same time as I'm supporting and processing them. And my confusion is a result of the conflicting energies that I have to allow to surface within my mind and my emotions to be exposed to love for healing. And a step in that process is confusion. Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually, that was a great explanation. I especially liked when you got into the piece about the red and the red, where you said, and then you built on it, but they might have a red frequency coming up in them as you're processing them, and then it triggers something in you that resonates from your 5-year-old red, and so then they mix and they start to muddle as other things begin to come into that conversation. But the clarity of just red and the red was really extraordinary for me to realize that, okay, so I might be working with someone and they might be processing something, But as soon as I start feeling the feelings in me, I can be aware that something got resonated that's mine, and I need to go to
exactly.
work on that before I can be clear to support them in working through their stuff.
Exactly.
Because otherwise I'm going to be confused in the process.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's a step in the process. It's a natural, desirable part of the process as you're bringing new frequencies in. I'll sometimes in an intensive do a demonstration, and I'll have a broad, like a wide flower vase, and I'll fill it with clear water. And I'll have some watercolors, and I'll take a brush, and I'll put it in the blue ink, and I'll put blue paint, and I'll put it in, and so we get this pale blue vase of water, and then I'll put some brown in, and some red in, and some green in, and some purple in, and all of a sudden the water's so murky, I can't see through it, and that's the way the mind works. Is I'm looking through all of this murkiness in my own mind. And I think there's something wrong with the world because the hue of the water now is sort of this purple-green, and I look out through it, and looking through it, everybody looks purple-green. And I think it's them that's purple-green, but I'm the one who's feeling it. And then, and of course, I think I'm seeing clearly, but I'm really seeing through my own filters. And then I'll take that vase, and I'll start and pour in some clean water, and all of a sudden, the purple-green hue becomes paler, paler, paler until the water starts to clear, and I keep pouring in the clean water until I'm back to a vase that's totally clear and I can see accurately. You know, if I'm working with my child and they have that issue red, I have the unresolved issue red, I'm an adult, I'm aware of how to heal, I'm aware of forgiveness, I'm aware of how to hold the space of love and how to expand that space, I'm just going to keep pouring that energy in to and through myself to my child, and that active presence of love dissolves that old red energy until we're both clean and clear of it, and now we have clear perception of each other and the world again.
I love it. I'm going to go back and listen to this again because I know even as you were talking, I was working through a couple things, so I probably didn't hear it as clearly. So I'm going to go back and listen because that was just an extraordinary application and explanation. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, we wish both you guys were here at Laws of Living. I know we've had conversations with both you, Mark, and with Dr. Tim, and maybe next year that'll be something that'll work out to be able to share that space. The energy, the space that's really here is so monumental. It's just been fabulous. So pretty cool.
Thank you.
All right. Well, anything else we can share to support you?
No, thank you. I'll take you up on that when I'm ready. I just don't think I was ready for Laws of Living this year. I had a lot to work through at my home front here. And so I appreciate all the prayers and the love and support from everyone. And I'm working through what I need to work through, and you guys are working through what you need to work through, and I think we're kind of in sync because there's a lot of stuff moving there that it seems that I'm aware of, either through comments or people sending, you know, love and blessings and things like that. So I'm holding you all in the space of love and pure being with that pure intent. And love, love, love you guys. Thanks so much. And I'm going to sign off now, okay? I gotta get running.
Okay, appreciation. And we're just getting ready to do a still point session with everybody, so hold the space for that if you would. And we'll look forward to the next time we get to chat.
Will do.
Okay, blessings. Take care. Dr. Tim, anything else to share in that regard, in regard to that whole conversation?
Well, just that I really like that clarification. Every time you bring it up, it helps me to think about it. It's a very different thing for me to recognize that somebody has energy up in them than it is for me to say, oh, I know what their energy is. I like how you pointed out when you say, if I say to somebody, wow, you look angry, in essence, what I'm saying to that person is, if my face looked the way your face is looking, or if my voice had that tone to it, it would mean I'm angry.
Right.
And it's one thing for me to recognize an angry or an upset or an intense energy in somebody else. And it's a very different thing for me to feel inside of myself an angry, upset, or intense energy. And the distinction that's so useful for me is to say, if I'm feeling angry, sad, scared, hurt, confused, or frustrated, I created it inside myself with my own thoughts. The way to figure out if I created it is figure out if I'm feeling it. If I'm feeling it, I created it. If I want to blame somebody else or an outside circumstance for creating the emotion I'm experiencing inside of me, then I'm locking myself off from the possibility of ever changing that emotion, dismantling
yes.
it or feeling better. And those several pieces put together have helped me build tremendous amounts of flexibility and liberty in my life over the past 10 or 15 years that I didn't have before when I was still operating from the sense that an outside event causes me to feel this, an outside person causes me to feel that. So
you bring up an interesting... Oh, go ahead. Excuse me.
Well, so just in relation to what Mark was saying, you know, this is something that I still work with and struggle within myself. If I'm dealing with someone and they're obviously triggered and upset about something, I can only lovingly support them as long as I'm feeling calm and centered and loving. As soon as I get triggered to anger, fear, or confusion or upset of any kind, now I have my own negative thoughts rolling, generating my own negative emotions, and I need to clear that up before I can process them.
Yes, absolutely. Well, two things that come up. One is that there's also, we can experience something from one of two perspectives. If someone's angry and that resonates the brain cells in us that recognize anger, we can, as support, recognize that from the point of view of, I've worked through that. I recognize that as anger. Is that accurate for you? We can ask that question of someone, and that can help guide them where otherwise they might not go. And two, I see a lot of people who call themselves empaths, and I think it's just, for most, it's just another form of denial. Oh, I feel everybody else's feelings. And you can't feel anybody else's feelings. And the empath, I think, is just using another form of denial to keep from feeling what's and dealing with what's their own and working through it. And so another aspect of the whole process as a support person in supporting people in that healing process. And we're down to a few seconds again already, fast hour. Delightful to share with everybody that calls into the show. And Dr. Tim, you are hugely appreciated. Michelle, thank you for handling the switchboard well. Jeannie's getting all this awesome food set up. She's handling the kitchen for the next few days since Ari has left. We look forward to being up in Woodstock in a couple of weeks. We'll be in Wilmington the end of November and then on down into Florida. Keep track of our schedule. If you've got a place you'd like us to present this winter in Florida, give us a call, and we'll see if we can work it into the schedule. In the meantime, I invite you to create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's the most awesome gift you could possibly give the world, and bring strength to the show tomorrow. We appreciate being with you. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.